You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
From our studio to yours, this is Various Artists.
Ahia he Māori e tēnā koutou katoa, ko mea toku ingoa.
Ko Sophia toku ingoa. Nō mai, haere mai ki Various Artists mō tēnei wiki. Kia ora mea, how are you today?
I'm great. There's been so much going on this week in the art world.
Honestly, the Wednesday night, if, I'm sure everybody knows about it, but yeah. like four or five openings on.
I only managed to get to two of them, but yeah. Wonderful. I think it's really, everyone's kind of woken up out of their like winter slump, and yeah. It's like, it's been really nice.
It's lovely. Yeah. Oh, good to get amongst it. And we've got a lovely show today. Maya, what have you got?
Yeah, I had a kōrero with artist Seraphine Pick about her current show, Paintings, currently on at Michael Lett. So what do you got?
I had a kōrero with artist Kathy Barry about her exhibition, We Went to the Edges of Time, currently on at Melanie Roger Gallery.
He aha ofakara, we'd love to hear your thoughts on these pieces. So tukupatsahi mai, you can text us on 5395, lima toru iwa lima waimairane, or give us a call in the studio on 309-3879.
Also after the show, koa e wareware e ahe ana koutou te whakarongo ki ēnei kōrero anō hei pakihere rokiroki maronga i te pai tukutuku o erirangi poho me haere ki 95BFM irakati.com. You can catch all of these chats and more by podcast on the 95BFM website 95BFM.com.
What's it all for?
Various Artists.
We Went to the Edges of Time is a new solo exhibition by artist Kathy Barry, currently on at Melanie Roger Gallery. Based in Te Whanganui Atara, Barry represented Aotearoa on the international stage at the 32nd Sao Paulo Biennale in 2016 and was selected in 2023 as the recipient of the prestigious Sea Art Trust Award. Her first substantial survey exhibition and a public installation, Energy Work, with artist Sarah Smuts Kennedy, was curated by Christina Barton for Te Pātaka Toi Adam Art Gallery in 2022. In We Went to the Edges of Time, Barry has further explored the mode of making that has underpinned her practice since 2012, where she lets go of artistic agency, rather letting energy fields guide her watercolour drawings. Through a series of geometric mappings, the viewer is pulled into the energetic frequencies of Barry's work and invited down a pathway of sorts to healing beyond familiar dimensions. I had a kōrero with Kathy Barry about the exhibition, her process, and these ideas of relinquishing artistic agency.
So I have a practice that takes the form generally of large-scale series. So the series will generally take the form of about 12 to 16 paintings that may take anywhere between a year to 2 years to complete. They are always works on paper using watercolour and pencil, and they take the form of hard-edged geometric abstraction. And the way I understand those to be a type of diagram to explain ideas around energy fields and ideas around multidimensionality. So if you like, each series takes the form of a diagram.
Your practice engages with this process of letting go of artistic agency and letting these energy fields guide you. And you've been giving visual form to these energies since 2012. Are you able to speak as to how this shift in your practice came about and what has kept you working in this field of exploration for over 10 years?
Sure. So I would say that it came about around about the time that I was doing two residencies back to back. So the first one being the McCann House residency in French Bay and Titirangi, and the second one in the Vermont Studio Centre in the US. So I had this period of time of around 6 months where, if you like, I was removed from my usual way of working, and it became a little bit like an incubator type experience where I was able to fully emerge into exploring these energies that were starting to come through. So it began at McCann House residency, where I started to tap into these energies or see them, feel them. And there was this kind of initial beginning to allow them to guide the work. but it was very much me stepping in as well and being part of the creative process, which became this sort of hybrid between what my work is now and how I used to work. And then when I went over to the States, right at the beginning of the residency, I had this idea of what would it be like to fully surrender to these energies that were sort of showing themselves to me at the McCann House residency. So I was able to produce two works over in the States in that three-month period. So the first one was a drawing. It was a very, very similar to what I had been doing at the McCann House residency, but I let this guidance come through and guide every aspect of the drawing. And I really thought it was probably just an extension of what I had been doing, but perhaps more complex. But at the end of the drawing, the energies that I had been working with came in and started to communicate ideas that were embedded in the drawing. So these were ideas to do with the self as a multi-dimensional being. So ideas of residing in this dimension but being able to access other dimensions to gain knowledge and information, if you like, and perhaps an understanding of what it means to be in this dimension but also expanded out into these sort of higher, finer frequency bandwidths of dimension. So I realised what I had been doing wasn't so much just pure abstraction. It was a type of diagram for, I guess, conveying ideas to do with multidimensionality. So I completed this purely black and white pencil drawing and then moved on to watercolours. So it was my first painting that I did where I fully gave over to this guidance, and what came through in the end was highly complex, so much more complex than what I had been able to create in my work previously. The way in which I could also use the energies that I were tapping into as a form of healing for other people as well. So that drawing I called Epic Whirlpool. And I showed it at the Adam Art Gallery in Wellington a couple of years ago, if you want to see what it is. It was only a few colours, and like the work that I've got on show at Melanie's at the moment, at Melanie Roger Gallery, all the colours were very much colour-coded and worked as a type of, if you like, frequency that emitted energies and frequencies for the viewer, but also contained a symbolic content as well. So that was where it began. And I've been working in that way ever since, mostly to produce these long sort of more epic series of, you know, 12 to 16 perhaps paintings, less these one-off paintings than what I did to start with. But a lot of the information that came through in those early days is still being extrapolated in these longer series, and the work that I have at Melanie Roger is very much a continuation conceptually of those first works that came through. And yeah, to answer your question, what keeps you going and working it that way, I think it's just curiosity as much as anything. Like, I find it really fascinating to completely put aside my artistic agency and see what comes through, because it's never what I expect it to be. There's always this element of surprise in that process of foregoing what I think should happen and letting these energies guide the work. So yeah, it's like perhaps more adventurous in a way to be working in this way rather than me determining how I work.
You were speaking about these ideas of guidance, but it feels more that it's giving complete control. Can you tell me a little bit more about like how much control you feel you do have in this process, or allow yourself to have in this process? How does that kind of play into approaching making a work?
So I very much completely give over to this guidance. I prefer to just fully let that guidance come through and to completely suspend my my artistic decision-making process. So just about everything is determined in this way. So whether it's the size of the paper or materials, colours that I use, format, composition, everything is a form of really sort of working with this kind of approach to making, I guess.
You've spoken about your paintings as being these activations of healing. How do you kind of see this process? Do you see it as a process of healing for just the viewer or yourself as well? And if that includes you, how and when do you feel the work heals you? Is it during the process or once the work is complete?
I would say the artworks are very much what I would consider to be more like energy body activations. So I don't really think of them so much as healing works, but maybe healing is a type of outcome from that activation of the human energy body. Mm. So since I've been working in this way, I've let these energies work with my own field, and that has become more and more activated over a period of time, so that I feel energy very intensely. I feel where the energy centres are in the body and those currents. And always in that process, there's a process of allowing new energy to come in and a clearing of energy. So healing the physical body might be an outcome, a positive outcome of this work, but really it's a activation of being able to feel into these energies, or a sense of having an expanded sense of self in the world and being able to access something beyond this dimension, if you like. Mm. So I think that's what the work intends to do for the viewer. And my process of working with the energies is mapped out over a period of time in the artwork. So the artwork acts like almost like a visual diary of my process of building this energy body. So almost like a recording of a process, or a kind of a roadmap of a particular type of process of working with energy in the human energy field. So when I look at the works, there's a sense of recognition of what I'm doing energetically, and I think that process is something that the viewer can perhaps have a kind of fast-forwarded experience of what I'm doing for myself, if you like.
I guess on that, each work has these focal points that almost pull the viewer into its light, frequency and energy, acting as a pathway into a new dimension of sorts. How do you kind of see this focal point and its relationship to yourself and the viewer?
I think that focal point that occurs, so to take the work at Melanie Rogers as an example, there's a few works that combine the two colours and they appear more like a kind of vortex or a portal, but the other works, I guess, have in common this central line where there's a whole set of diagonal lines that sort of merge at this central line in the centre of the paper. And I see that as almost like the centre of a type of vortex of energy. So it's surrounded by these diagonal lines that move around that centre line. So I guess I understand that as a stand-in for the energy centres in the body. So I think there's perhaps like a line of energy that traverses through the body that's intersected with these centre points. So it's not so much that there's only one there, but multiple. I see those diagonal lines that traverse that centre as a type of mapping, if you were to kind of look down on the human energy field as from a bird's eye perspective. You might see sort of energy moving in a kind of spiralling motion. So it's that point in the centre that would be at the centre of that sort of vortex of energy. Yeah, so it's perhaps not so much to do with multidimensionality, that aspect, but the squares that frame that centre line, those points that kind of expand out from that point, almost like Russian dolls, I see those squares as representations of dimensional bandwidth. So at the centre of that point, there's a smaller square that I see as almost like a symbol of the third dimension, and then surrounding that you have squares that grow in size around that that I see as a kind of representation of higher dimensions or dimensional bandwidths that are vibrating at this faster speed that sort of hold that point. So if you like, those drawings are like maps of the human energy field in this multidimensional field.
You've spoken a lot about the colours that you've used in this exhibition, in this body of work. Can you tell me a bit more about that? Every work is boldly red or green or a combination of both. What do these colours represent to you? And I guess with the works that include them both, what does that mean to you?
So I think colour in the exhibition operates on a few different levels. So there's a level where colour could be understood to emit a type of electromagnetic frequency that has an effect on the viewer energetically. So green, for instance, would be emitting a different frequency than red. And then when those colours are combined in two of the paintings, there's a different frequency or electromagnetic field that's going to affect the viewer in slightly different ways. So there's that, where the energy field of the viewer might be affected by those frequencies emitted by colour. But there's also an element where the colour has a type of symbolic function. So I think of the green as symbolising the environment or the earth, cosmos, universe, while red might be symbolic of the human heart or the physical human body, or love even as experienced as a sort of field of energy. So yeah, there's that symbolic function as well as that that sort of function of effect on the viewer.
Your practice has been recognised alongside other artists working within these realms of energy for the way it challenges or questions traditional modes of artistic agency and control. Do you think we have a hesitancy to accept these energies and notions of healing in Western contemporary art? And how do you kind of see yourself fitting within the contemporary art landscape in this respect?
Yeah, I think there is a big hesitancy to take this on board, and perhaps even more so in New Zealand. There's a type of pragmatism that means that it's a little bit harder to get these ideas across the line, which I completely understand. And I think it is hard to get your head around, perhaps if you haven't experienced some of this stuff. But, you know, I think the work could also just be understood or appreciated on an aesthetic or formal level, and that's fine too. But there is perhaps like an invitation to even momentarily take on board these ideas when considering the work, and just, I guess, as a way of opening up to new ways of thinking or new possibilities of what it might mean to be human in a dimensional field beyond this dimension.
That was artist Kathy Barry speaking to me about her exhibition We Went to the Edges of Time, currently on at Melanie Roger Gallery until the 6th of September.
Only positive critiques. Honest.
Various artists.
We'll be right back after a short break. You're listening to Various Artists on 95BFM.
If I could, I'd be your little spoon and kiss your fingers forevermore. But big spoon, you have so much to do. And
95 BFM.
Oh, I love this song.
Wow, we get along so well. I feel like I've known you my whole life.
I know, it's crazy. I'd love to see you again.
Sorry, I just have to ask. Your hoodie is so random. What is 95BFM?
Oh, I knew this was too good to be true.
What? Wait, where are you going?
No!
Show the world exactly who you are with our range of classic 95BFM merch. From the BSA slogan t-shirt to ringer tees and hoodies, get yours now at twotonesmerch.co.nz.
Picky Picky, the debut album from Geneva AM, is out August 15, and we have copies of the vinyl to give away. Just listen in to 95BFM Breakfast all week and keep your B-card handy for your chance to win. Picky Picky, Picky by Geneva AM. Get your pre-orders today. Album out August 15, wherever good music is found.
Do you growl towards the weekend on a Friday afternoon like the cockroach that hides in the corner of your room and crawls towards your sleeping face at night to slither inside your ear and lay its eggs?
Well, it's lucky we have this show to jolt you awake and stop all that disgusting crawling. It's the Friday 2 to 4 with a brain-birthing cast of DJs ready to get you hyped for the weekend.
Various artists, so you can go to the opening for more than just the snacks.
Serafine Pick is one of Aotearoa's most celebrated painters, with a career spanning 30 years in which Pick investigates human experience through the material language of paint. Her paintings circulate this tension between figuration and its collapse, often bringing the figure forth into her ethereal compositions and then dissolving them back into themselves. This new body of work presented within paintings continues Pick's exploration of material dissolution and figural density, displaying a rich navigation of material applications. Each work leans into its own materiality, some soft and delicate, while others thick and textural, an act of deep listening and responding to the paintings themselves, with Pick circling back to former ways of making through a new lens. I had a corridor with Serafine about the show and overall practice. Could you start off by introducing yourself and your overall practice, the key mediums that you gravitate towards, as well as the thematic and or material glue of your practice, the thing that kind of acts as an undercurrent between all projects?
My name is Serafine Pick, and I'm a painter, mostly. I engage in ideas around painting, and my key medium, yes, paint, oil paint, and I gravitate towards any material I can find. I'm always experimenting. And thematic is it's not something I go into the studio thinking about to start shows, because I like to just react to things. Like, I go in there, I get distracted by things I've got half done in my studio, and it just takes my mind in different directions. I have to kind of control that when I'm doing a show because of the lack of time, mainly. The theme sort of, if there's such a thing, comes out of making the work, and it comes to me through that experience. So the threads sort of appear. I don't kind of conceptualize that clearly. Like, I like it to be quite open-ended when I go in there, because of the experimental nature of using different materials as well and different approaches to painting.
So like a very material, hands-on led practice.
Yeah. And I think that's because I find, because art to me is just an experiential thing. It's something I do every day, and it's just part of extension of myself. It's very physical, and I interact with it. Sometimes I battle with it. there's always that period of battling with trying to let go or to control, and as those two contrasts that you're always in balancing with.
Beautiful. Yeah. And your current show, Paintings, presents a body of gorgeous paintings that circulate themselves around a central motif of bathers, a theme which was commonly favoured by modernist painters. In doing so, your body of work creates the space of complex dialogue between 20th century painting and its own legacies of image production. Could you speak to this decision of bathers being this reoccurring motif within the body of work, as well as the dialogue that this motif brings forth in relation with these modernist painters?
Well, the motif of the bathers, I was quite surprised to hear that, because I definitely didn't have any intention for that. It's just come out of the work informing the figurations of the work, the figurative aspect of the work, and I always have the figure in my work. The body as a material channeling senses and emotional states through the making. I think that there was maybe an unconscious thing connecting the body with, I think, water. There's a lot of water. There's a lot of things not being fixed in space, and the layering, and there's ghostliness, there's all that unseen energy stuff going on. And I think that that's just how I make. I just go and make, and I feel the paintings, really. I don't know how I work them out. I work it out by feeling, seeing what's done. Whenever you do something, it changes everything in the painting. So you have to react. There's a reactory aspect to the process. So, I'm always channeling into that, and it's like going down a rabbit hole sometimes. I'm never ending this. There's always that question of when the painting's finished, and it's kind of a waiting game for me. It's just waiting to see when it feels like to stop, and it's going to be a very hard thing to resist, to stop and not to keep working, because your brain instantly starts working on the painting when it sees it. So it's like just to stop yourself. and lots of artists have said painting doesn't really have an end, it kind of finishes itself. So
So these bathers, they weren't an entry point of this body of work, but rather that something that kind of arose out of it as you were in this conversation with the painting?
Yeah. It's, there's this, if, you know, the body dissolves and comes through the process of, I use old paint, like, for instance, when I was making this show, I decided to keep it open without a clear intention what the show would be about, but I just want to use, I just narrowed it down to just, okay, I'm just going to go in there and use the materials of tradition and painting, or paint on stretch linen canvas. And I didn't want it to be an obvious series where the work was all stylistically the same, but to kind of treat each work as an experience in itself and let the work kind of guide me where to go by what materials I was using. Mm. So when I started to use, like, I tried different approaches, and I was using thick paint. I started using thick paint in the show, and it was sort of like a muscle body memory, because it's like my early work re-emerging. Yeah. And using a white and pasto and doing sgraffito on them. I made works like that in 1994 when I was 30. It's like 30 years ago. Mm. So it's a very different experience to touch on the history of your own work when you're older, and you're a different person to what you were then. So you've got all this other experience of how to approach that thing. Mm. And I think a lot of the bodies in the show, it is about being older as well, as a woman. And it's that physical thing with just, like, I'm using my hands and I'm scratching the paint, I'm mixing up big things. I'm starting to get more into that materiality and just physically being in it, so maybe the bathing is part of that too, and immersing yourself in it, and what that feeling you can communicate with that, because you're kind of communicating through it. And I think it's sort of come out of experiences of working with clay again, when I did some collaborative work with Jamie Jenkins.
Yes.
And that was a real, like, taking me back to I found it really comfortable, because my father was a potter, and so I grew up around it, but I hadn't done any. So when I started to do it, it just felt really right, and I really liked that you couldn't control it so much. The kiln finishes the work or destroys it.
Yeah.
So you have all that there, and I do like that lack of control too.
Yes, yeah. No, clay really relates to kind of painting and that kind of, but more so with clay, where there's more unpredictability.
Yeah. And then the work I did at Te Uru was more about the temporariness and randomness, and just using all the detritus of all the other art I've made. There's a lot of dead paintings in my studio.
Yes.
I keep them because it's material, and I'm like, oh, use that again, and it'll become something else. So it has its own sort of, the idea of painting being creating and destroying to create. It's like this cycle, this continual thing of change. And so I enjoyed doing that, where I was putting paintings on paintings and treating all this stuff like it was tubes of paint, like colour, or and putting them together, and they become something else. And then I started putting objects with them, and I can just see there's this physical journey I'm going into now with the work, and I'll probably get more confident with that, because this just feels like very, I've just tentatively touched on it, tentatively bathed. I put my toe in the water.
No, that's beautiful, this idea of bathing in the paint itself while creating these. That's really lovely.
And bathing in ideas, and just, there's been a lot of talk in art where, since COVID really, where people are starting to talk about the body and nature and connecting to nature. And what is that? We are nature. So it's more about connecting with ourselves and trying to draw out, what am I really interested in? What am I really weird? Or I just want to play. It's like, I think that's the thing with moving things around. It was like playing.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying. And in my when I was younger, artists, just a lot of playing around, because you didn't have all the experience of the world. So you were kind of like, it was before the internet, before the overload. So, yeah, I'm really feeling like that's where I'm at the moment, just, moving into, I guess, that's getting older, you get more confident.
Yeah, lovely, this kind of circling back to old ways of painting, but with a new perspective and a new kind of outlook on life.
And I think that's where the art history aspect has been picked up in my work, because I love art history. I love looking at, I look at a lot of art and you can see that. But it's for learning. I continually want to learn. I want to continually learn new things to do. And I know I'll never be able to do all of them. I love experiencing new things, like going into places where I don't know what I'm doing. I have no idea what I'm doing. It's right or wrong, but then just playing with it, because that feels, it feels real and authentic to just play with it and not worry about whether you know what you're doing or not. But and just to enjoy it.
You've kind of briefly already touched on it, but your paintings display a beautiful array of colours and textures that navigate this tension between figuration and its collapse, and this shifting between material dissolution and figural density. Could you talk a little bit about this exploration of the figure and how it kind of dips in and out and kind of dissolves with this with this working and this exploration of material?
Well, the figuration, why I made a lot of the figures that I made, like there was the white paintings and there was a brown one called Mud Bath. They were made over old paintings, so there was a history of some painting that happened there that was another figure under it. And I just kept working on them and then working them and putting another figure on top of a figure. And they just, and I just liked the way they came out of the materiality of the paint, and it was just like very intuitive, and just, and it's not correct, it's, they all, the figures aren't, you know, anatomical or anything. They're kind of earthy, and it's kind of like that sort of, I wanted that sort of sense of them.
The feeling of it.
The feelings are really important aspect. I know people don't like talking about their feelings, but when you're making, that's what you're using all your senses to bring it all together. So it's a collaboration with the materials. So you're just working with them and trying to be part of it.
Yeah,
so that's what it is. I think that's what I'm trying to do. It's a real, I guess, people could call it a channeling exercise, but it is a connecting thing. I want to connect with it, not control it and work against it and just do a pictorial thing. It's got to be more than a pictorial thing for me, I think. I think I've got to the point where painting a picture of something is quite difficult. It's like I don't get enough from it. I mean, I love it. I love doing a picture, but I just feel like I want to explore more beneath the construction of a painting. So Yeah, like one painting I did was the mind lag one. It was a very bright coloured one in the show, so it's quite different. And that was just also working from things in my studio. I just treated a drawing like a material, and I thought, I'll just a painting of a drawing, which I've never done before. I never do drawings, I never make paintings of them. And so it is kind of an illustration, in a way, of a very quick drawing, but then I've got to experience it through paint, and it's a very different thing, and it's I found it quite challenging, actually. Because I felt like, oh, maybe this is not that interesting. But yeah, I'm always wanting more than that. So it but it came out as a very kind of jarring image, so to me, because the figure's not quite formed, and there's a bit of ugliness, bit of beauty going on at the same time, and the contrast of those two things. I think that's all through the show too. It's that contrast going on, and how that creates an unease in the work. There is that in the work. They're not all about beauty. They're about dissolving bodies. They're about, you know, death, life cycle. All those things are touched on in them. And yeah, I think there's, you know, the world we're in is definitely, I mean, it all affects me in the studio. I think it affects everybody at the moment. There's terrible things going on, and conflicting things, and we're living in lovely sunny Wellington. And there's all that stuff of horror going on at the same time, and that's what it is to be human, is that we have to deal with all those things. And I think that's all in there too. And I see the beauty and I don't know how to explain it, the abject, the ugly, and the beauty in that as well, and when making paintings. So that's part of it as well, and the figuration and the abstraction at the same time too. I'm always trying to bring those together, because I kind of see maybe painting figuratively or pictorially is all abstraction too. Yeah, everything kind of connects and triggers other ideas for me, and I find that what keeps it interesting. To keep be open to that.
And you've got such a rich kind of display of a lot of like different applications of paint within the show. Like you said, some are like really thick and caked on and have this really rich built up history of kind of these old paintings that kind of have Kevin got a new life onto it. And then you've got some that are more delicate and kind of ones with like acrylic and quite soft. Could you talk a little bit more about this
about
kind of
kind of well, I think it's each work is it's I deal with the each work, so if it feels like I need to do it in that way that's appropriate to that thing, then that's the way I'll do it.
Like what it's asking,
another one or not. And it's also because I like to be always trying something else out within making shows. So, I'm always experimenting. And things happen, and you just go, oh, I really like how that's going. I think I might try that and keep doing that and on a few works. And then I kind of like the way the contrast of each of the works kind of talks to each other. Like they're not all the same, so there's not just the one way of looking. You can look at them all very differently, and that kind of emanates a different atmosphere or feeling from each of them too. And also there's the other thing with me being very deaf, and I think that feeds into my work a lot, because when I'm looking at things visually, I kind of see them as sound as well, so as a way of communicating feeling, I guess. So there's works there that are very subtle, and like there's one work where I've done a blind monoprint on it, and it's a figure. It turned out to be a figure. I just put up some paper that had paint or ink on it. I just drew on the back of it, so I couldn't really see what I was doing. So And I wanted it to be that. I just wanted to something that I'm just totally feeling, like I'm visualising in my head, and then I'm doing it and just hoping it comes out.
But
I quite like that because it's like a whole lot of marks in the atmosphere kind of coming together to make something become something that we see. So perception's kind of always in there too. So I do things like that. And to me, that one's got a very, it's got a very low sound, this quiet sound, but it's quivering and it's got a static sound as well, like a nice digital static or something to it as well, flickering and dappled light and all those sorts of things. So I'm always thinking of things like that too, and they become a kind of visual material for me to add to the work as well. And that's just what's happening in the work. I'm always, you know, reading it off the work as well of where to go with it. And that work, I knew I couldn't do a lot on it. It couldn't have much more done on it because I would have lost that,
yes,
that balance and that subtlety.
Yeah.
So yeah, but it's to me it's got quite a heavy. I don't know. It's it looked like a crouching figure protecting itself, and there's sort of like the swath of kind of some sort of water or light or energies coming down on it. So it's got that sort of thing, but it's also very safe and there's two ways of reading it. And I quite like works that you can read in more than one way. And everyone brings their own experiences to the works and reacts in their own way, and I really enjoyed that. I mean, as a way the works go out into the world, and they leave you, and they take on their own lives through other people's experiences.
Yeah, it's interesting what other people bring to it, because like when you're making it, you're listening and responding, and yet then when it's kind of left you, it's like other people are listening to it and kind of maybe mishearing things or hearing something else.
It's about listening and seeing at the same time. Yeah, using our senses in the way we do, and it's very unconscious. So yeah, it's just like the whole show is kind of an immersion into the unseen in a way.
That was Seraphine Pick talking to me about her new show, Paintings, which is on at Michaelette until the 23rd of August.
Yes, darling, but is it art?
We'll be right back. Here's some Blood Orange.
So
It's the 95 BFM Art Guide on various artists. It's paintings in that.
This week in the wonderful world of art in Tāmaki Makaurau. As mentioned on the show, Kathy Barry's We Went to the Edges of Time is on at Melanie Roger Gallery until the 6th of September.
Also as mentioned on the show, Paintings by Seraphine Pick is currently on at Michaelette Gallery until the 23rd of August.
So Connor, an exhibition by Jana Dombrowski and Bai, is on at Grace Gallery until the 13th of September.
The Tongue to Them is on at Artspace Aotearoa on Karangahape Road until the 4th of October.
Coastal Signs reopened its new space on Karangahape Road this week, and the first exhibition in the space, Icon by Maggie Friedman and Amon Ngākuru, is on until the 13th of September.
How to Disappear by Steve Carr is on at Gow Langsford until the 23rd of August.
Acts of Rest by Ruth and Esther Ege is currently showing at Season Gallery until the 23rd of August.
Our Bart Karu, Come Talk to Me, The Aperture of the Moon is on, is an exhibition by Kalpana Pandram and Lisa Crowley on at Room until the 23rd of August. And remember, the film screenings for The Aperture of the Moon is held every Thursday at 11 p.m. You can register online through the RM Instagram.
Peter Robinson and Georgia Griffith's dialogue exhibition, Differences in Kind and Rhythm, is also on at Te Uru until the 24th of August. If you have something you want on the art guide, you can email us at arts@95bfm.com.
That was the 95BFM Art Guide.
Ko ira te hōtaka katoa mō tēnei wiki, nei te mihi kia koutou katoa I kōrero mai ki māua mō tēnei rā.
That's all for us on various artists for today. Ngā mihi nui to everyone who spoke with us.
Kathy Barry.
And Seraphine Pick.
Nei rā hoki te mihi kia koutou e whakarongo ana. Thanks for tuning in.
And remember, you can listen back to all of today's pieces on 95bfm.com.
Ka hoki mai mātou Aotearoa wiki. Next up is The Land of the Good Groove with Nigel. My name is Sophia.
And I'm Maya.
And that was various artists.
We'll catch you next week.
You're listening to 95BFM. Ka kite.
Ka kite.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.